FM.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There we go, Lo.
Y'all like how your boy Lo, y'all like that voice, how your boy Lo come in there. Hey.
Smooth with it.
I came at the door. I said it before. I'll never let the mic magnetize me no more. Hey. But it's biting me to rhyme. I can't hold back. I'm looking for my line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat. My rhymes will be kicking it till I hit my last note.
Oh yeah. Well, that sure as hell ain't Willard and Dibs, huh?
No. Dibs can't do that. Shut up, Dibs. Go to hell, Dibs.
In case you haven't noticed, it's Lo Neal, not Willard and Dibs, along with Mark Randy and Jay Hutchinson here on 95.7 The Game. Lo Neal.
Jake with State Farm. Let's go, baby.
You're trying to make us all feel a little bit better after that loss by the Niners yesterday, huh?
You know what? If you can't laugh and enjoy, and trust me, I've been on teams that win two games. I've had coaches quit in the middle of the season. Jim Moore when I was with the Saints. I've been on teams who win two games, and with the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bengals, and people wearing the bags over. We had the Black Knight, Achilles Smith, another Oregon guy in New York, but he was absolutely a hung to. I mean, love the guy. Love him, but I mean, I know you're Oregon guy, but I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, it just... You know you didn't have a chance, and you had to go to practice. It's cold. You're in the dirty natty. It's freezing, and you're out there, and it's snowing on the ground, and you got to go out there and practice. And guys are like, I'm sick. They're not even out there, and you're still out there, and you're just watching your team and your players around you, and you're like, what is going on? What did I sign up for? And you could either have a great deal of resolve to get better, resolve to say, okay, how do I channel my inner self to say, I'm not going to go with the status quo, because it gets hard when you, I mean, Niners are going through a little bit of adversity. This team's going to bounce back. It's a good organization. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they got this place going the right. It's going in the right direction. This is just a bump in the road, but I was on that dirty natty, bro. We knew that it did, you know, we would have a meeting every Tuesday at the office where we just go and it's just a couple guys, the old heads is going to say, what did we sign up for? And just drown ourselves in sorrows. But tough times don't last, tough people do. And that was a year, believe it or not, you go look at the record. I went to the Pro Bowl that year. Went to a Pro Bowl. We only won, I think, two or three games because I said, I'm not going to let this defy me. I'm not going to let this, where we're at, this record, you know, where people are going to look at me and say, when you turn on the tape, I remember playing against the Tennessee Titans that year and freaking three guys I knocked out on the game kickoff. Mitchell came down, Donald Mitchell, boom, knocked him out, came on kickoff. I put him to sleep, carried him off the field because he's my boy. I mean, taking Randall Goffrey, we ran lead draw against Randall Goffrey, took his helmet off. I mean, just I played angry because we were losing. And that's the thing that you want to see. And you want to see guys, when you're down and out and it seems like you can't reach the goal that you started off to see, because every season everyone says it's a Super Bowl. But you still can reach goals that you have personally. And that's what some of the things that kept me going. I think that's why I played so long, is because of the fact when it was tough and it was dark and it was grim and you knew you didn't have a chance to get to a playoff, it was just like, all right, today, give your heart to God and give your behind to me, because I'm going to take it out on you.
I love that. And I think that's what you need from your vets, right?
Right.
The NFL, is, I mean, you know better than anybody, it's got to be the hardest league in the world when you don't have a chance, because in other leagues, it's whatever, you can tank. In the NFL, you can't be out there just
jogging around. You get killed. You'll get hurt.
Genuinely. And so I think with the 49ers, this thing keeps going south. I think the thing you got to watch out for is making sure the rookies and some of these younger guys who haven't been in this program the whole time, they don't lose that steam, that energy, and they keep building and have goals. And I think guys like Kittle, who, you know, you can criticize him for maybe being, you know, fake happy and all that.
I love him, though.
But I think it is sincere.
He plays with joy.
I think it's sincere. And he plays with joy, and he does force guys to have fun, even when it's rough.
Yeah.
And so I think that sort of stuff is important.
That's why I hope Greenlaw comes back. And for me,
he lights up a room.
Yeah,
no question.
Because if he comes back, you'll have a guy that on defense, he won't take it. He's that guy that you're missing, that attitude guy that's saying, okay, I'm going to knock you out then. We're getting ready to lose, but I'm going to knock your butt off. And that's what I think this defense is missing. So hopefully
no
he
doubt.
Can come back to get that spark.
Yeah,
with
no
you
doubt.
Completely.
And Kyle Shanahan did provide an update on Dre Greenlaw during his conference call earlier today. That and a whole lot more. You heard a snippet of him talk about Brock Purdy. We'll hear that. We'll hear everything Kyle Shanahan said earlier today on his conference call with the media. He began, as always, by talking about injuries from the loss yesterday in Green Bay.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game. Aaron Banks will be in the concussion protocol. Jordan Elliott also in the concussion protocol. Renardo Green hurt his neck. He's going to be day-to-day. Flanagan Fowles, knee, he'll also be day-to-day. And then Pooney had a shoulder. We're still waiting for the MRI to get back, so still being evaluated on that. And same situation with Demo, who banged knees in the game. We're still waiting on his MRI to get back, too. That's it from guys from the game. Go ahead.
What about Brock Purdy? Did he do any throwing today, or will he do any? And what's the plan for him early this week?
Yeah, he did some light throwing today, and it went all good. You know, he had we didn't push it that hard, but did some light throwing, which was a good sign that the pain hadn't come back, and we'll rest it tomorrow and see how he feels as the week goes.
It was reported over the weekend by Jay Glazer that Brock Purdy had a second MRI on his shoulder. Is that true? And if so, why a second one?
Because, yes, it's true. I mean, most guys get – we always get more than one. When you get one and it seems all right, then you have some pain later in the week, so you get another one to make sure you didn't miss anything. And so that's what he did, I think, after the Thursday practice.
Kyle, what is the nature of his injury?
The shoulder.
Kyle, were there issues with the footing yesterday? I mean, Jake Moody from the start of the game slipped on that first kickoff. Were there issues with that was causing some of the missed tackles and whatnot?
Yeah, there was definitely issues with the footing. You know, it happened to our quarterback in a number of plays, but it happened to a bunch of guys throughout the game, and guys were fixing their cleats. Some did in pregame, some did it right into the game, but that's an issue at Lambeau that time of the year.
You talked yesterday about your frustration over the penalties after watching the film, the video. How can you go about fixing that? Obviously, you still want players to play aggressive, but as you've noted several times, the penalties are really hurting you guys.
Yeah, you look at each penalty, and the ones that you can correct, you correct. Going back to, I think on the second play of the game for offense, Pooney went a little bit early, and that's something he's just going to have better patience with, changing the – the cadences are always subtly different when you change quarterbacks, but it's something we harped on hard, especially Thursday and Friday, once we realized what was happening. And that got us there. The false start that they called on Jake later in the game, we had been doing it that way all year, so we didn't see anything wrong with this. We're going to have to check with the league on that because he didn't move or anything. They just said he snapped it too early, so it's some disagreements there. A couple of the holding calls, especially on the long kick return, I didn't totally see it the same way, but the other two I did, and we got to be better with that. So, the timing of those penalties, and we didn't overcome either. I think on one drive we overcame the third and one penalty. Other times we didn't. So the pre-snap ones we got to be much better at. Those are the ones we can avoid. But a couple of those I got to get talk to the league on.
Hey, Kyle, to clarify, the assumption is that Brock would be available to play against Buffalo if he doesn't have pain this week, and if not, then Brandon Allen would start?
Yeah, to clarify, guys, with Brock's shoulder, it's exactly what I've worded to you guys every time. We got the MRI last week. His shoulder was bothering him. We thought it would be all right by Thursday, and it hurt worse Thursday than it did earlier in the week. So we rested it throughout the weekend, hoping that would help. He threw lighter today to see if that rest helped, and the rest did help him. So we'll see again, going through the same things we did last week. We're going to let him rest all the way up to Wednesday. We'll see how it feels on Wednesday, and then we'll take the exact same course throughout the week. And hopefully it responds better this week than it did last week with the rest.
Kyle, with these back-to-back long trips and Thanksgiving this week, kind of what will this week look like in terms of practice and workload, et cetera?
Not much different. I mean, I start a little bit earlier on Thanksgiving. We start earlier so I can get the guys, so guys' families don't have to wait as long for them to get home. My family gets very annoyed with me because I get home pretty late for Thanksgiving, so it ends up being a later dinner, but, for the coaches and stuff. But we try to move everything up, get going earlier so the guys can get out, have a Thanksgiving, and then the next day. We'll start a little bit earlier to catch up on stuff we didn't finish with the film, and then we'll be on our way to Buffalo.
Are you planning to open the window for Dre Greenlaw this week, or where does that stand?
Yeah, Dre should we are going to open it this week. He should be able to start practicing on Wednesday.
Have you had a chance to talk to Nick Bosa and Trent Williams, and how are they doing?
I mean, they're in the same boat Brock is, really. You know, we have the MRIs and everything. We kind of understand it, but just waiting to see how they respond. They didn't respond great last week. That's why they weren't able to go. Nick and Trent are both in the same boat. You know, Nick with his hip and oblique and Trent with his ankle. And we'll evaluate as this week progresses, and hopefully it turns a better corner than it did last week.
Kyle, after seeing the film, how do you view the way Brandon played at quarterback? And if Brock can't go, is he definitely the starter then in Buffalo?
Yes, you know, unless something crazy happened during the week. But I thought Brandon did some real good things. You know, he had one real bad decision at the beginning of the game early where he threw it to number seven. Unfortunately, that guy dropped it. But I thought he made some big plays in the game that gave us a chance to get back into it. You know, him going across the board and getting that touchdown to Kittle. He had a couple big third downs. I thought he had a hell of a throw on the one that Debo tipped and ended up being intercepted. And I think his two toughest plays were a keeper on second and seven where he slipped right before he threw it. I think the next play, I think, was that pick. But what he does have to do better is protect the ball in the pocket. The ball was on the ground too much.
Kyle, what are you seeing from Fred Warner? Do you think he's just pressing? It looks like he's missing the plays that he's been making consistently over the last few years. How would you evaluate his play during the last couple of weeks?
I still think Fred's the man. I think Fred's playing at a high level. I know he had more missed tackles than he's had. You know, I think he had, I want to say, four, which is too much for anyone and way too much for him. You know, so obviously he can do better in that way, but Fred's still playing like one of the best linebackers in the league. So I know he's got a real high standard. So when he has something like that, it's going to stick out. Fred's still playing like one of the best players in this league.
Kyle, I mean, the defense had 19 missed tackles overall. Where's the disconnect between the coaching and what they're able to do on the field?
I wouldn't say there's a disconnect. I would say, you know, especially in that first half, they got some guys in space, and we sat in a chair a little too much versus that running back. And when you come to a jump stop on that running back, he is going to break your ankles. And he did it to a number of guys. It always helps if you can get two people there, but when we had one person there, he did as good as I've seen anyone make someone miss tackles in the way he ran. I thought we did better there in the second half. I think we ended up counting 12, so I know PFF has different numbers than we do, but it doesn't matter. 12 is still way too many also. I thought we tightened it up there in the second half and tackled better and got him in some third downs and got off the field, which I thought gave us every chance to get back in the game. And then but that was really tough to do when we led three drives in a row with three turnovers in a row. So that's really what killed us.
What's it going to take to get Debo going? It's been a few weeks now, and he is struggling from scrimmage, struggling in the receiving. Does he have the burst that he needs?
I think he has the burst that he needs. You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities last night. He had a pretty good kick return that I thought would have changed the huge momentum of the game. Unfortunately, I got called back with that holding call. I thought he had a good screen. And then the two plays he's got to do, he's got to catch both of those balls. And if he catches both of those balls, he's got a chance to, you know, to do what he's good at after that and run with it. And he didn't get that opportunity because he didn't catch both those balls. So if he does, then that would be two more opportunities. And as far as anyone, I mean, we didn't get anybody going in that game. There was, you know, we weren't consistent, and, you know, we didn't participate very much in the first half, and in the second half with those turnovers and everything, just killing our drives. And I think we had a total of 50-something plays, but we really weren't able to, you know, stay out there consistently enough to get any player going.
Kyle, Fred after the game said that there were run looks that they weren't prepared for. Is it more Josh Jacobs and his ability, or is it just purely not being ready for what they were dishing out?
No, I mean, you're going to see different formations and different run looks every game. When you do see that, you can't get out of your gaps. And there's a couple times that we had guys get out of the gaps. I'd say on the second play of the game, they got a long one. They caught us just in a blitz. We were doing a blitz. And when you blitz and they run the ball and you can get someone out of a gap, you're going to get 15 yards like that right up to the deep safety. After that, a couple looks that they had, we had guys overrun it. They cut out our DN, and there's not a guy in the gap, which leads to an explosive. And we had too many of those in the first half, without a doubt. And when you give a back like that kind of space, and they're getting 10 yards before contact, he's usually going to make that one guy left look pretty bad, and that's what we had way too many of.
Is Charvarius, is he going to practice in full this week?
Yes. That's the plan. You know, he got a lot of work in last week. You know, he just did most of it with the scout team and stuff, and seems in good spirits, and hopefully he'll come out there Wednesday, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's not something I'm pushing him on hard and trying to go at his speed, and but I know how he talked last week and everything, and hopefully he'll be able to take another step forward with that this week.
How do you feel about sort of the big picture playoff race and to be at 5-6 at this point? How sort of urgent, desperate? I mean, do you view every game now as sort of must win to keep your chances alive?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think everyone knows, you know, you just got to look at it for a couple minutes to realize where we're at. You know, it's nice when you're one game out of first in your own division. So that does say a lot, you know, especially being able to play two of those teams left of our six games. But you also know, you look at the whole NFC picture, and if you don't win the division, it's, you know, it's 10-7 is not guaranteed to get in as a wild card by any means this year. So I think everyone understands completely outside and inside what the situation is. That's why that Seattle game was so tough of a loss, and that's why last night was even worse. So we know what we got ahead of us. We know exactly what that playoff situation is. You know, that is what it is, but really all that matters is this week. When you do need to go on a run and put a lot of wins to even think of that, then you better make sure you're only thinking of one thing, and that's Buffalo. And so we've had to take care of a lot of stuff today, hoping the guys will take care of their body stuff here over the day and a half they're away from us, and we'll come back Wednesday fully understanding the situation we're in and coming back ready to fight, because that's all we can do right now is just fight our asses off. And I'll be very surprised that not every guy in this building, when I see them Wednesday, isn't ready for that exact mindset that we're going to need to pull off what we feel we can. All right, guys, thanks.
That's Kyle Shanahan earlier today, his conference call with the media. Welcome back, Willard and Dibbs, here on 95.7 The Game. But no Willard and Dibbs this week for Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, the great Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you here on Willard and Dibbs. Shanahan said a lot of interesting things there. First of all, some injury updates. Brock Purdy lightly throwing today. Shoulder responded well. He had two MRIs on that sore shoulder yesterday. He will rest tomorrow. They'll check it out on Wednesday, see how he progresses throughout the week. Dre Greenlaw, the Niners, are also opening his practice window, which means they have 21 days to activate him, and he can start playing football at some point. No guarantee that it happens this week, but it is a possibility. We will see as it goes along there. He also said interesting things about Debo Samuel and his lack of involvement in the offense of late, and also missed tackles. But I want to focus on one thing he said at the very end right there, talking about the urgency that he says he feels that the team definitely has. He says, quote, "I think everyone understands completely outside and inside what the situation is." I don't know how you guys react when hearing that, because I think everybody on the outside of the organization has felt that kind of urgency for like a month now, but it seems like it hasn't really quite found its way to all of the players inside the organization based on how they've played at times so far this year. So there might be a little bit of a disconnect there. They should have been feeling this a while ago, and maybe they were and it just didn't quite work out for them. But that's something that caught my eye, because this is a feeling that they should have been having for quite a long time already this year.
Yeah, I think it goes with the whole feeling of this season of just nothing has got into that gear.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't need it to be, you know, whatever stakes it is, which is your season is on the line every single game, to get in gear. And even if that is the case, it's they're probably not going to get in that gear, because I don't think they have it. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Kyle Shanahan and this team knows what the stakes are. They've known for a while, but they also just don't, I don't think they have the horses this year to really do it. And I think the way they've been inconsistent in every aspect of the game just makes it hard to say, all right, time to turn it on. They played basically one good quarter of football this year, the third quarter against the Dallas Cowboys. And outside of that, I don't know. I have not seen this team be in that gear that would make me, even if they somehow beat the Bills, I don't see it for this team competing with the Lions, the Eagles, any of these top teams that are really gunning for a championship. They just don't have it this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Same church, same pew. You can sit on my lap this time.
I'm good. I'm all right.
You'll pass. That's a hard pass. Yeah. Exactly. I just look at this team and think about what Kyle Shanahan was saying. Missed tackles. Debo two drops. Said, hey, get Debo involved more. You catch those two passes, guess what? Those could be some big plays for Debo to get him going. He didn't do it. You saw the screen that he had. Talked about how explosive that was. The kickoff return, how explosive that was. So he has the explosiveness in him. So you got to make a conscious effort to say that I have to do better. The 12 men on the field, one time. Okay, I can accept it one time. The second time, right back in a row. Okay, that's not good. This team is not good in the second half. Second half, have you seen this team win a second half football game? Have you seen this team? You think about all the second half teams you play. Dallas almost came back and beat you in the fourth quarter. Arizona beat you in the fourth quarter.
Tampa darn near did it too.
Tampa came back and almost beat you in the fourth quarter. When you lost to the Rams, came back and beat you double digits in the fourth quarter. This is not a second half team. This team perks out, peters out. It just doesn't have it. Not enough horses. So what makes you think you can go on the road and play against the number one team in the AFC, the best team in the AFC, right now today? If you said, who is the team to beat in the AFC? It's the Buffalo Bills off of a bye. You're going to go play Josh Allen in the snow when it's freezing off of a bye, and they know that Baltimore Ravens and all those other teams, they're trying to play for home field advantage. This is a team that's pretty dialed up. I understand what Cal's saying. He's saying everyone in this building knows a sense of urgency. Everyone knows what's at stake. It's when this you lose this game, you own 15%. That think if you lost yesterday, went down to 15% chance of making the playoffs. You're at 15%, barely double digits. Yeah. It's going to be very hard for you to go to Buffalo with a team that their season, the home field advantage, everything is on the line for Buffalo. You think Buffalo is going to take it easy? Buffalo, you think they're going to put on kid gloves? You're going to Buffalo on the road in a hostile environment. People are going to be jumping off of chairs.
Sunday night football. Yeah. Night game.
Yep. Night game.
The Niners might need to sacrifice somebody to the pit behind the Bills.
Exactly.
That's what they need. They got to go. Yeah.
I mean, even if this was a Niners team that had 10 wins and only had one loss on the year, this still might be a game they would lose.
Even if they were playing like last year, this might be a game they would lose.
You could have everyone on the team. Go pick Buckner back up. Go get a couple other guys. Hey, this is tall cotton, guys. Just realistically, this is tall cotton. That Seattle game and that Ram game and that it's a couple of those games that you let get away. The Cardinals.
Yep.
Those games right now are at the forefront because now you're getting ready to play the Goliaths.
Yeah.
This is you played Goliath last week. You played that team you played Green Bay. But this one even is a bigger juggernaut to me than even Green Bay.
And then you have another juggernaut coming in the future when the Detroit Lions come to town.
Right.
And Lions Bills might be the most likely Super Bowl scenario right now. So it's tough. It's tough for the Niners. And you're right. Those three conference losses gave them absolutely no margin for error, and now you got to go into Buffalo and take on a really good team and maybe the MVP favorite. Okay, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we will continue to react to everything Kyle Shanahan say. I got to get something off my chest about Debo Samuel. We can do that as well. Plenty more to get into. It's Willard and Dibs, but no Willard and Dibs this week. Mark Randy, Lo Neal, Jake Hutchinson. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.